Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick. With me, David Smith, Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute, Illinois Family Action. And with us is Ralph Rivera, a lobbyist for IFI down in Springfield. Ralph, a busy session of the General Assembly, and for pro-family, pro-life conservatives, the news isn't real good.
That's correct. Actually, we did pretty well on the pro-life vein, even though House Bill 40 passed both houses. They were very close numbers.
And House Bill 40 is the taxpayer funding of abortion.
Right. But since the governor has promised legislators, Republican legislators, that he would veto this, that bill will eventually die.
So it's been held up right now. Senator Don Harmon, now where's he from? He's from Oak Park. Oak Park has put a motion out. He wants to reconsider his vote. Now, there's not a chance he's going to say, I want to change my vote, is it?
No, not at all. It's a procedural motion that holds the bill from going to the governor. Until that motion is dealt with, the bill hasn't actually passed.
And it's really in Don Harmon's hands, right?
Well, the Democratic leadership wants that. It's not Harmon doing that on his own.
And why do you think that is? I know this is speculation, but let's speculate a little
bit. I think the speculation is that if Rauner were to get this, would have gotten this in May. So it was sent
shortly
to him
after
in
it was
May,
passed, right?
He would have vetoed it. And they could not override, so the bill would die. But this is 2017 in early, late spring, summer. A year and a half later would be the elections of 2018. And their fear is that people would have forgotten that Rauner vetoed this bill.
So they're holding it back to make it a campaign issue is what you're saying, right?
Right. So next year, the thought or the strategy that we think they're doing is they will release it. Don Harmon will table his motion.
And release it means go from the Senate to the governor's desk.
That's correct. And then when the governor vetoes it at that time,
then they can make a big stink about it.
Right. It's only a few months away from the election, and that's what they
want to do. And you're thinking it's not going to be in the March primary because that wouldn't help the Democrats, right?
That's correct.
It would be done maybe an October surprise type of a thing?
No, I think it could go, to the governor in June.
June?
And then he could do it in July. He has 60 days
from that
time.
So a year from now, okay.
Right. So then it's setting up where
they can do, Governor Rauner doesn't care about women's rights to choose.
They can have a whole summer running TV ads.
That's correct.
And then, women's right to choose. He doesn't care about women who have been raped or victims of incest, right? All that stuff, right?
It's the war on women.
Wanting
to say, even though
there is none. Governor Rauner and his wife have contributed $50,000 to Planned Parenthood recently, at least in 2017,
right?
So, I mean, they're definitely pro-choice. They don't care. As long as a Republican's in that seat, they're going to go after them, right?
That's correct, right.
Well, in House Bill 40, let's just go over a little bit more to remind people, it didn't just approve taxpayer funding for abortion.
No, it also would approve taxpayer funding of abortions under the Medicaid program. That's the public assistance medical card. Additionally, it would approve taxpayer funding for state employees' group insurance policies.
That's right.
And there are a few other things. One of the new things on this bill that last year's bill for 2 years did not have is it would remove major chunks of the preamble to the Illinois abortion law of 1975. And two of the things it removes, one is in the preamble, it says that the General Assembly or the people of the state of Illinois recognize the unborn child to be a person. They remove that. Secondly, there is what is called a trigger language. In other words, it says if the Supreme Court ever reverses itself It doesn't say Roe v. Wade, but talk about that decision. It says their decision that makes us have to do this bill or this law, then we revert back. If that's ever modified or reversed, then we revert back to the old law, which in Illinois was a ban on abortions.
So in theory, if this bill does make it to the governor's desk, which we expect maybe in 2018 it will, what's the chance that Governor Rauner will just line item veto just the taxpayer funding part out?
Oh, that could be the case. You could line out everything and give them the trigger language, which is actually fine with me, because the trigger language, unfortunately, is inoperable.
And we've had our legal guys look at that and say, this is not an issue.
That's
right?
Correct.
But it's really a two-edged sword for the governor. If he vetoes the taxpayer funding of abortion, he gins up the pro-choice vote, okay? But if he allows the codifying of Roe versus Wade in the state law to take effect, he angers conservatives.
Yeah, right.
That could be the case. The fact that it's inoperable is the key point. That I've known this for 25 years, that my attorneys have said, this unfortunately doesn't work. It was a nice try, but the language is such that it won't revert us back to the ban on
abortion. Well,
ideally,
if he would veto the whole thing, that would be great. But I think the taxpayer funding part really brings it home to us, right? Because then we're kind of complicit in paying for abortions. Many pro-lifers are not going to send their daughters or their wives to an abortion clinic. So they don't have to take part in it. But once we start paying for it with our tax dollars, and it becomes really personal.
It is. And I think the people have to understand that Medicaid is huge in the state of Illinois. A lot of people, because of the Obamacare,
yes,
have pushed people onto Medicaid. There are a lot of women on Medicaid, and those numbers have been growing.
Oh, they're outrageous. I just did an article for IFI about Obamacare in that healthcare is not a right, okay? 650,000 people have joined Medicaid in Illinois, according to a Chicago Tribune article. And the costs are just out of control, double what the experts said. $9 billion to the state of Illinois Medicaid cost. So that's a lot, and that's a lot of new people that this would cover.
Well, that's
well.
Right. The statistics that I've seen from the state Department of Healthcare and Family Services, which administers this program, there are over 1 million adults on Medicaid in Illinois. So say half are women.
A lot of them are healthy folks.
That's right. But half of them, more than half are women. But let's say there are half of the women who are of childbearing years. Let's say half of that million, that 500,000. It's 1.2 million. So it's really 600,000. And just let's say 2% of those women at any given year choose to have an abortion paid for by the taxpayer dollars. That would be over 12,000 additional abortions in this state every year. A tremendous number.
So it wouldn't hurt to tell people to please call the governor's office and let them know, or him know, the assistants, the secretaries, whatever, to let them know that you're opposed to House Bill 40. Please veto it. And the governor's office number is 217-782-0244. That's the Springfield office. I'll give the number again later.
Okay. Well, you can also go to our website, illinoisfamily.org,
right.
Click on Officials Finder, and that'll take you to the governor's office phone numbers.
That's right.
Well, one thing to keep in mind about Medicaid, it already pays for abortions in cases of rape or incest. So this is going to be really a massive increase in taxpayer funding for abortion. And we're talking any reason abortions, and a woman could have one abortion
as
on
many
the
as she
taxpayer
wants.
Dime
needs, yeah.
Or five. Who knows?
That's correct. There's no limit on this.
That's right.
Additionally, what's currently paid for, because of the state law and two court cases, a federal court case and a circuit court case, a state court. So currently, there are four reasons why abortions are covered: life, health, rape, and incest. And currently, it averages just less than 200 a year that the state pays for and the feds pay for, because the feds will pay for life, rape, and incest. So the state monies are solely for health. But the health, understand, can be a Mack truck loophole, because it's not defined. And so it can be for a lot of reasons that aren't really of some type of serious health.
Well, let's say the governor caves in on this, or the Democrats are able to muster enough votes to override his veto. What happens in Illinois 5 years down the road? What will Illinois look like in terms of this legislation, the impact it will have?
Just to set it straight, there are not enough votes, not even close, to override the governor's veto in the House. And so that's why we know that if the governor's promise to Republican legislators that he will veto this stands, then we've won this. But your scenario is, what happens if this went into law? Then what you have is at least 12,000 additional abortions a year.
And we're already doing 40,000 a year right now.
40,000, not paid for by the state or the federal. It's just
40,000 elective abortions done a year.
That's correct. And so we would see 12,000. If life, rape, incest, health are covered, then what?
So it'll push it over 50,000 a year in Illinois. 50,000 innocent children.
Will we see women from other states coming to Illinois for their abortion?
Yes, we can see that, because there are a woman can come from Indiana, where they're very strict on abortions in Indiana. They passed a lot of pro-life legislation. So a woman could cross into Illinois and be pregnant, and whether you're legal or illegal, if you're pregnant, you're covered. It's called presumptively eligible for Medicaid for a pregnant woman for that child. So a woman could come here and say, I plan to live in Illinois. So it's you don't have to establish a rent receipt or something. My plan is, and my intent is, to be in Illinois. She can be presumptively eligible for the Medicaid, get the abortion here, and then go back to Illinois, Indiana, for example.
All right, that's terrible. So let's make sure people know the governor's office is 217-782-0244. And we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about what happened in Springfield during this 2017 spring session.
Do you want a better education for your child? Consider Freedom Project Academy. Built on Judeo-Christian values and classical curriculum, Freedom Project Academy provides more than 100 live online courses for students in kindergarten through high school, with live class instruction, teacher hours, recordings, assignments, quizzes, tests, grading, and transcripts. Freedom Project Academy is faithfully educating America. Request your free information packet today.
Illinois Family Spotlight, Monty Larrick here, along with David Smith, and our guest is Ralph Rivera, who represents IFI in Springfield. He represents folks who want to protect life and want to protect the family in
Springfield.
And
he's the full-time lobbyist for Illinois Right to Life in Action. Thank you.
Right. Ralph, we talked a lot about House Bill 40 and the dangers that could pose on life here in Illinois. But we've had some pro-life victories in this legislative session.
Well, that's correct. We're a tough state when it deals with getting pro-life legislation through. So when we say we have victories, it's stopping potentially bad legislation or amending it and seeing that it doesn't become bad. Those are the kind of victories I'm talking about. We have a slew of pro-life bills that are introduced every year. But the leadership kills those bills. It puts them in bad committees. The chairman of those committees subcommittee those, so the bills die. Only one of those pro-life bills even got a hearing. in committee, and that was a Senate bill.
Right. So ultimately, it's the committee chair who decides whether or not a bill comes forward to be scheduled for a hearing, or is it Michael Madigan, the Speaker of the House?
Oh, it's both. It's Michael Madigan who sends it to a bad committee.
Knowing that they don't want to call it.
That's correct. Knowing okay. The chairman's power is to say, we're going to subcommittee that bill. It's a nice term. In most of the vast majority of the time, it's a nice way to just say, we're killing your bill without saying it.
It doesn't seem very fair, does it,
Oh, it's
Ralph?
Not. Their bills move to good committees. Well, usually the bad committee they send us to is the good committee.
Let me ask you a little more of a partisan question. If the Republicans had stronger leadership in the House and in the Senate, now Senator Redonio has stepped down, and now we've got a new guy, Bill Brady.
Right.
If the leadership was strong enough, do you think that we'd get at least a hearing, even if it was voted down in the committee?
Sure. Oh, if whenever leadership wants to take this up and say, we're going to take up this banner and say, you have to at least give us a hearing. You have to at least, I mean, what are you afraid of? Why don't you put it on the floor of the Senate? Why don't you put it on the floor of the House? Let them vote. If we get 60 votes in the House or we fail to, that's our problem.
Right. And for years now, we haven't had that because we've had very weak leadership. And that's my opinion, but I'm going to stick to it.
You know, when you talk about killing a bill, a pro-life bill, I just got to thinking about this. Really, what you're doing is indirectly, you're killing children.
Well, that's right, because these bills are meant to protect children, protect women, for people even who say they're pro-choice, some common sense legislation that they should support. Things like an ultrasound bill. You know, at many of these abortion clinics, they won't even show the woman the monitor of the ultrasound because they don't want her to see that it is a human life that is in her. But one of our bills just says you must offer that woman her opportunity to see it, her choice whether she wants to see it or not. But we know that if they see it, many will say, whoa, I didn't realize that that's a human life within me, and she could choose.
And the stats I've read about that, it's over 80% of women who see an ultrasound picture of their unborn child say, ooh, I choose life.
That's correct. So these are things that even people who are who call themselves pro-abortion or pro-choice could say, well, what's wrong with that? Isn't that choice?
And it's a fully informed choice, right?
It's certainly more informed. We'd like to even see it more informed than that, but
and
that's
as we
one
know,
step.
With the governor's signature last year, pro-life doctors, medical personnel, and even crisis pregnancy centers now have to give abortion referrals and talk about the benefits of abortion.
Well, thankfully, that's being challenged in court, and hopefully we'll see that struck down because that's compelling speech, and hopefully the Supreme Court, if it gets there, or federal courts will say, no, you can't compel speech. But it is onerous, isn't it? And tyrannical, I would say.
Yeah.
Ralph, I wanted to ask you about the ERA. Again, this is a quasi-life, pro-life piece of legislation.
Yes.
It's parental rights. It's all kinds of things. It would eliminate gender distinctions and require our girls, our little girls, to register for the draft because, well, there's no difference between boys and girls, right? Well, that's what ERA would do. And it's come up every year as far as back as I can remember, but it doesn't have the traction yet. Can you speak to that?
Well, first of all, the ERA, which is a federal constitutional amendment ratification, that has to have 3/5 majority in the House and Senate. And so because of that extraordinary majority.
So it means 71 votes in the House,
right.
It's 36 in the Senate.
That's correct. And
okay.
So if it was simple majority, it would have passed. But because it's an extraordinary majority, a 3/5 majority, then that's what is needed, by the way, to override a governor's veto. You need 3/5. Because of that, we've been able to keep that below the 71 or the 36 in
right.
the Senate. And prevent that ratification or that resolution from being ratified?
Well, give us a look behind the scenes, Ralph. Are the proponents working it hard? Do you see them talking about it? Are they trying to rally the support? Or do they know they're pretty short and, you know, they have other priorities?
No, they do know they're short. This is a generally, they want votes for elections. It's all, again, they call this the war on women.
Right, back to the war on women.
But you know what? Again, as you mentioned, we're talking about this would lock in a right to an abortion. So we're you're the slaughter of the unborn. And hurting women in this. You have this, we know from other states who have state ERAs that they have used this for funding abortion. They've used this on same-sex marriage.
Sure.
It's into that as well. And then it goes on and on. So if you can't have distinctions, then you've got problems. You can't have a men's and women's volleyball team. You have to mix them up. And maybe that's fine, but there are other things that are more onerous. There's a lot of problems with this. But they bring it out every now and then so that maybe there's a vote. And they can use it in elections, say, oh, you were against women. You know, the key thing is that when the ERA was first introduced way back in the late 60s, there were women who were getting less money than men. They were being discriminated on that basis.
Sure.
But since that time, there's state law, federal law, they've used the state constitution, et cetera, to protect that. To get remove that discrimination, if it's discriminating now,
well,
it's
I remember
against
a big
law.
Ceremony under President Obama when he signed a piece of legislation that was supposedly dealing with this very thing, solving the wage gap problem. Yet that doesn't stop the left from complaining about the wage gap problem, and of course, it's a manufactured problem. But anyway, I wanted to talk to you too, Ralph, about a number of other things quickly. There was a push in Springfield to decriminalize marijuana and other drug possession. Did that go anywhere?
No, it did not this year. There is even additionally to that, there were two bills introduced and amended that would legalize marijuana, make it recreational marijuana.
Right.
The sponsors, both in the Senate and House, said they weren't going to move the bill for a vote. They just wanted to present
this
for
discussion. They wanted people to start talking about it. It was a heads up to the media. Media, start ginning up our talking points.
That's right.
You were involved in a situation in Chicago where there was supposedly a legislative hearing on the legalization of marijuana.
Subject matter hearing only, yep.
And folks who oppose the legalization of marijuana weren't allowed to speak.
That's
some experts.
Correct.
The proponents are promising hearings on this issue. I'm just wondering how fair those hearings will be, or will it be a dog and pony show?
Well, the first hearing was, they said, oh, we only meant two people to speak, but they never mentioned that to anybody. The witness slipping was open for those who would like to speak. We brought a person in from Colorado. We had physician. We had, you know, PhDs.
The former DEA chair was there, yep.
We had law enforcement there. None of them were allowed to speak against this concept. So we should see this introduced again next year, and they may, but again, you have to have the numbers. So when people say to their legislators, I don't want you to vote for...
Listen, I want to point out to the listeners that you just watch the news coverage on this, the deceitful, dominant news coverage on this. They're cheerleading this all the way. If they do any opposition coverage at all, we may get 8 seconds out of a 2-minute segment. I mean, it's just you're obligatory. Yeah, there are people against this type of thing, and it's really concerning. So we need to circumvent them in our communication war, and we've got to get the word out about what marijuana does. Monty did a great interview just recently in one of our podcasts with Jo McGuire. She is a wealth of knowledge, and we're going to bring her back in Illinois to go around the state to educate the body of Christ, Christians, conservatives, to let them know what they need to be aware of and what to speak about with regard to marijuana. It's very important. Now, before we wrap up our podcast, I really quickly want to go over the fact that more gambling was introduced. You can't believe that there was legislation to add more casinos and more video slot machines. I think we're up to our eyeballs right now. We're completely saturated in the state of Illinois with gambling, yet our lawmakers think this is some kind of new revenue source, untapped revenue source, as if they can get blood from a turnip. Where did that go? Where did we end up with that?
Well, it didn't move at this point.
Praise God.
And a lot of it sometimes falls by its own weight of greed. You know, so many people want their
they
casino.
They want a piece of it, right?
They do. You know, the tracks want something. The horse breeders want something. And it goes on and on. And
thank God for greed.
Yeah.
The Chicago mob wants something. The Democratic mob wants something. Springfield mob wants
it's
something.
It's so heavy that it kind of crumbles on its own weight. But occasionally, it happens. They had a fantasy sports bill. They wanted to legalize that in Illinois.
Right.
But the casinos didn't like that. And so joining forces with IFI, opposing any expansion of gambling,
well, I get a tickle out of the fact that there's a lobbyist down in Springfield from Wisconsin, because he represents the Indian casinos, and they don't want a Rockford casino because that'll take money away from them.
That's right. So you find strange bedfellows. I mean, you're working with people who are in gambling, but they're joining with you because they don't want any additional gambling, and we don't either. You know, it's not that we condone what they're doing, but we're focused on stopping an expansion of gambling.
You know, during this budget crisis, I just have to say quickly, Mega Ball and Mega Millions or whatever those big lottery games are said, well, we can't pay out, so we can't be part of this. And so they were saying, this is how much money is going to be lost. Millions of dollars is going to be lost in revenue. And that's not true. That was such a straw man. You know, the fact is, that money is going to be spent somewhere else in the economy, probably more productively, more efficiently, instead of going to the gambling interests or to the state of Illinois, which squanders everything it gets.
That's true, and there's evidence to that.
Absolutely.
Good evidence to that.
Well, thank you very much, Ralph Rivera with the Illinois Family Institute, Illinois Right to Life Action. So thank you. God bless, and all the best.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.